Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. We continue reading in Isaiah. I selected Isaiah 48 as a reading, specifically verse 20, part A, which is also on the front of your cover today. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Susanna Petroysen heard her daughter cry out, "Mommy, I'm thirsty. I want a drink." And she and her four-year-old daughter were stuck in a basement beneath tons of collapsed concrete and steel. It was December 7th, 1988, and an earthquake in Armenia had just killed 55,000 people. "Mommy, I'm so thirsty. I want a drink." After feeling around in the darkness of their basement, Susanna had found some shattered glass. She slashed her left hand and gave it to her daughter to suck her blood. Days passed. Susanna had no idea how many times she had cut her hands. She only knew that if she had stopped, her daughter would have died. Hands were cut. Blood was shed. Child was saved. In 587 BC, Israel's world caved in. The temple collapsed. The monarchy lay in ruin. The land became a wasteland, and all hope was dismantled and destroyed. And then the massive aftershock, which brought wreckage and ruin. 700 miles from home, Israel's exiles were trapped in a basement called Babylon. And with every passing year, that Babylonian god Marduk seemed more and more powerful, while Yahweh seemed more and more incidental. Slowly but surely, the exiles began to accommodate themselves to their new surroundings. We call it assimilation. Economic documents unearthed by the Tigris River show that assimilating with Babylon brought stunning financial success. Give in a little. You don't have to change everything. Just be tolerant. It's a whole boiling frog syndrome. Well, you know, myth has it that if you place a frog into hot water, he'll immediately jump out. But if you place a frog into lukewarm water that is gradually heated, he will never get out but slowly die. The exiles are calling their Babylon basement the new normal. But they're in hot water. And if they don't get out soon, they'll die. Isaiah's charge, therefore, is to do everything possible to awaken Israel out of that spiritual slumber and to get them out of Babylon. And so, he announces, Yahweh will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all nations. And he says, glory will be revealed and all flesh will see it together. He says, rest assured. Those who wait on Yahweh will renew their strength. For a bruised reed he will not break and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. And then in 51:17 and again in 52 verse 1, he cries out, awake, awake. Climax of his preaching comes in Isaiah 48, verse 20, part A. Get out of Babylon. Flee from Chaldea. Declare it with a shout of joy. And Israel's response? Nothing. Nothing. They won't leave. Oh, the lights of Babylon, the sounds of Babylon, the religion of Babylon coaxes them into staying in Babylon. That's why throughout Isaiah 48, the prophet calls them, and I quote, stubborn, unyielding, headstrong, prone to idolatry, deaf, deceptive, and a stubborn rebel from birth. All because Israel refused to listen to the gospel of their salvation. Listen, hear, O Israel. This is the governing verb of the chapter. It appears 11 times in chapter 48. Can't you just imagine the people responding to the prophet? Oh, Isaiah, haven't you heard? Babylon is the political, military, religious superpower of the day. This is the land of life, liberty, and the purchase of happiness. Why would we want to go to that backwater little area called Judah? Besides, it would be a huge hassle to liquidate our assets, to pack up our bags, and to pull up stakes just to live in a land devastated with famine and warfare. Get out of Babylon. Get out of here, Isaiah. You have lost your mind. You see, this is like a thirsty person choosing to drink raw sewage instead of water from a fresh mountain stream. Or a bankruptcy company rejecting a government bailout. Or a student saying he will not accept an automatic A from a teacher. The exiles, they are just unmoved by Isaiah's poetic claims, alarming narrative, and stunning doxologies. Our bondage began with just one more drink, one more lie, one more fling, one more glance. But you see, one more always leads to one more, and then just one more. Oh God, I know. And then a massive earthquake hits and its aftershocks. We find ourselves trapped in a basement called Babylon. What next? The boiling frog syndrome unleashes its hypnotic power. Oh, sure, being obsessed with pornography, homosexuality, sex with benefits, living together before you're married, money, gossip, food, people's approval or work is a strange place to be in at first. It's crushing to be trapped beneath tons of collapsed hopes and dreams. But in time, we become accustomed to living in destruction and death. With each passing day, it becomes easier to deny that I'm stuck on that stuff. Stuck on that stuff that kills and steals and destroys. We are in hot water. Hear the word of Yahweh. Get out of Babylon. Flee from Chaldea. Declare it with a shout of joy. In Yahweh's heart, he calls people out of darkness into his marvelous light. He called Abram and Sarai to get out of Haran because of its moon idolatry. He urged Lot and his family to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah because it was the center of sexual perversion. And he called Israel to get out of Egypt because it was the epicenter of a socialization that brought massive dehumanization. You see, at the core of Israel's narrative is Yahweh's ongoing call to his people, a call to get out of decay, decadence, and death. And our response too often is nothing. We don't listen to the gospel of our salvation. Isaiah 30, 10 to 11 is the classic response to the prophetic call. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. But down deep, we are thirsty. but not for more of the same. We know it's salt water in the desert, and it doesn't quench, it kills. We are thirsty. We're thirsty for a clean conscience, for a fresh start, for a loving, for a tender hand to reach into our basement and to get us out. Well, that's exactly what Yahweh says to his Israel. You see, Isaiah 40 to 55 is chock full of good news. Consider these words from Isaiah 43. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. These great and precious promises are found, fulfilled, and come to fruition in Isaiah's servant, who alone is able to reach into our wreckage, and he does it with hands laced with blood. Finally, you see, blood is all that Jesus had. His disciples had deserted him. His garments had been gambled away. Even his father had turned his back on him. Blood was all he had, but the blood of Jesus is all we need. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hands were cut, blood was shed, and we are saved. And our response? We get out of Babylon. We flee from Chaldea, and we declare it with a shout of joy. Amen. Now, you are the body of Christ, each one of you a part of it. Amen.